Amen. You can be seated. I'm not going to be before you long. One of the things that I've learned about myself as I've become an older Christian and in the years that I've been saved, nearly 30 years now, is that I don't like injustice. Not only do I don't like it, I despise unjust treatment. I don't like it when people are abused. I am the survivor of abuse. I was abused sexually. I was abused emotionally and definitely verbally abused. And I don't like it, which is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about children, because I feel like children are people that are supposed to be protected by the adults. And if they don't have something and if they need something, I want to provide that need. I want to give them what they don't have, not toys and things. Those are great. But the things that we all wanted as children, which is to be taken care of, to be taught well, to be loved. And so it's the reason why I travel all the way to Kenya and I spend 10 days and I drag all these people with me and I come home bone tired. It's because the passion that I have for those that can't defend themselves is so great. And I don't like it when people are mistreated. Hear me, I don't like it when people are mistreated. I don't like it when someone uses their position or their age or their size to intimidate another person or to display their strength. God is not in that. And so one of the things that the Lord said to me, and I read it over and over when I read this scripture, and I read it in about 4 or 5 different versions, and I stuck with this one because the enemy counts on he's like a bully. He counts on the fact that you're going to quit. And so people that abuse people, people that mistreat people, people that get their jollies or feel strong because you're less, they're just bullies. And today, I want to give you tools, just like I did with the Raleigh Church. I want to teach you how to deal with a bully. I want to teach you. I want to show you in the Word how you deal with the bully that's in your life. Because bullies count on the fact that you're weak in the moment. They're looking. They're like an animal that's looking for the weakest of the prey. They're like a coyote. They're looking for the weak one. Like hyenas, they go out and they look for the weak one or the babies that can't defend themselves, counting on the fact that maybe the mom or the dad won't be around. But I'm so glad that my father is always there. The enemy is the biggest bully you'll ever come across. Because this is what bullies do. Bullies just intimidate you. Bullies are always trying to punk you. They're always trying to scare you. They're always trying to keep you in a dark, closed-in place of fear and intimidation so that you won't take another step towards your promise or the thing that God told you that you're supposed to have. They try to get you to quit. They use things that they know that you were afraid of as a child. There are people that have never left North Carolina because they're so afraid to fly. Because maybe someone died on a plane. Maybe someone got sick, and so they won't do that thing anymore because they're afraid of it too. We are a church called World Overcomers. How will you overcome the world if you can't overcome your fear? And today, we are going to take that bully, and we're going to let him know we're not afraid of him. So today, in the face of all of your fears, because we all have fears, I'm not exempt from having fear. But the thing that I do is I get up every day. Sometimes I get up and he tries to intimidate me, Brian. And I get up anyway in the face of my fear and I put my foot on the ground and I move forward in the face of my fear. And I let the devil, the biggest bully we all know that he will not have me. Today you will not win. In the face of me shaking and trembling, I'm going to move forward. I will not quit. And as long as I don't quit, I will never lose. It does not matter who's with me. It does not matter who leaves. It does not matter who talks about me. It does not matter who doesn't love me. It does not matter what I don't have. It does not matter how I feel that day. It does not matter what you say about me. It does not matter. Because I will not quit. And as long as I don't quit, I will not lose. And I've lived a little bit of time now, and I realize that that really does work. You can be afraid, that's okay, but as long as you don't stay there, as long as you keep moving, as long as you put your feet on the ground and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And in the face of this fear, I'm going forward. You see, the enemy counts on it. How many of you are not afraid to admit that you had to deal with a bully in your life, whether it was as a child in school? If you've never had to deal with a bully, you get up scared to go to school, scared to go outside because they're waiting for you. The Bible says that we just read it, that when the day of evil comes, that what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to stand your ground. And after you've done everything you know to do, stand firm. You cannot quit. Say that. Say, I will not quit. I will not quit. When you get up in the morning and the enemy tells you that this is not going to work, that you don't feel good today, and he puts thoughts in your mind that cause you to believe that this day is going to be a train wreck for you, you're supposed to face him and move forward anyway. But he is counting on the fact that you're just going to sit there and let it wash over you. That you're going to sit there and let him have you. So when I say get up and move forward, I'm not talking about physically getting off your bed and moving forward. I'm talking about opening up your mouth and declaring the word of the Lord in your own life as you physically move forward. Because any place you're supposed to set your foot is supposed to be territory for you. You cannot take Canaan afraid. Because if Canaan is a blessed place, there are giants in the land. And if you can't face the fear that is as small as a needle, then you'll never take Canaan. And the enemy doesn't care about your stuff. I say it all the time, but you got to get that revelation. So stop being afraid you're going to lose your car or lose your house or you ain't got enough money. There's never enough money. Can I get an amen? The more you get, the more you got to spend, the more the government wants, and the more you need. So you may as well give God your tithe anyway. Because whatever is left, he's got to bless it. You don't want a curse on your money. I don't know where this is coming from, but you do not want to curse your money. We get up here and take up offerings, and we try to relate to you and tell you stories of blessing. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't give the 10th, the 90 is cursed. That's just the way it is. And you can't be afraid. So you have to do what you know to do. The Bible says, having done all you know to do. So when it comes to your giving, what you know to do is at least give God the 10% that he deserves, but he's owed. Because it is in him that you live and move and have all your being. He is the one that gives you ideas. He's the one that gives you the strength to produce wealth. And the Bible says he'll make you generous only because you're supposed to be rich. You're only going to be rich to be generous. Not on one occasion, on every occasion. But this message is not about giving. It's just an example. I'm not taking up an offering. That's so one of the reasons why we rarely take up two offerings, and we muddle it over if we have to take up two. Because we're so concerned with what people think about their money. Because we realize it is a small God in our lives. So whatever you have, decide now it belongs to God anyway. That without him, you'd never have it. Because if you're afraid to lose it, you'll be like Job. Your worst fear will come upon you. And you are blessed. You are a blessed people. You are a blessed people. Poverty will not overtake you as long as it doesn't take your mind. But see, the enemy counts on the fact that you're too afraid to move forward. He's counting on the fact that you're too introverted, too quiet. Because then he can continue to bully you. He can continue to get up and take from you. That little bit of courage that you get on Sunday, you leave those doors, he's just waiting to take it from you. But today is the day that you leave these doors with more faith and more courage, because I declare that you will not shrink back. How many of you ever had a parent or a mama, uncle, or cousin? You went out there, the bully told you that they were going to beat you up. They wanted to fight you, so you ran back in the house. How many of you had the kind of parent that would say, if you don't get back out there, you're either going to fight them or you're going to fight me? I told this story. Now, y'all don't think ill of me. Y'all didn't tell me I lost my earring. You didn't tell me I lost my earring, baby girl. Hold on. Ooh. It's not for cuteness. I like symmetry, and so it will bother me. It's my little OCD issue. I like symmetry. So I told this story in Raleigh last week, and I didn't intend to tell it. But you know what? After I told it, I was like, yeah, that works. When I was a kid, I was about 11, 12 years old, and there was a girl named Hazel. Hazel was a bully. She was just straight always punking everybody. And so I'm not used to people not liking me, but Hazel could not stand me. She couldn't stand me. And we would get on the bus together, and I would get so quiet because I did not want Hazel to say nothing to me, because you couldn't get on old girlfriends. She wasn't even big. That was a thing. And so she had decided she was just going to kick my behind. I don't know what I did, if I smiled because someone said something flippant to her. You know how you try to keep your head down? I didn't keep it down low enough. So she decided she was going to kick my behind. And when I tell you, I did not want to go to school the next day. And so my mother was an alcoholic, for those of you that already know that. She was an alcoholic, for those of you who don't know. And so my mother had been drinking all night, and she had a hangover. There was no way I was staying home from school. So she told me, you're going to school. And I was like, but she's going to beat me up. She's going to beat me up. She said, you getting on that bus, and you going to school. And I went out shaking, just scared. I couldn't even concentrate. And so she just punked me the whole time while we were waiting for the bus. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get you after school. Oh, you think you're cute? I'm going to get you after school. So we get on the bus. She just taunted me all day. If she saw me in the hall, she saw me out at recess. Her and her friends were talking, and I just knew. I mean, my heart was pounding all day. The fear that was already instilled in me was so great. And I was not like a fighter. I was like a lover. I talked a good game. So after school, I was like, this chick is going to. There was no parent to call to come pick me up. She's going to beat my behind. We get off the bus. And we're standing there. The bus, you know, they wait for the bullies, wait for the authorities to go by. And they wait to get you in a corner or in a space where no adults are coming by. So I'm like, and they trick you into thinking that you're safe because they're not bothering you while you're walking away. So I'm walking away, and she just straight pushes me, and I fall down. And I was so afraid all day. It's like when she pushed me and I fell, and she started hitting me because I was on the ground, I was so exhausted by being scared all day. Something came over me. Have you ever fought a crazy woman? This is a true story. That's why I said don't judge your first lady. I'm sweet. I think I'm sweet anyway. But when I tell you I was so tired of being afraid of her that day, that somewhere I got the strength, and the next thing I know, I was on top of her, and it's like I blacked out. This is a very true story. I'm not exaggerating even a little bit. All I remember is taking her face and scratching it across the ground. And then we were up on our feet, and we're just, you know, women like, we're just pulling hair. And I took her by her hair, and I just started banging it up against the car. It was just an available car there. You see, she was counting on the fact that I wouldn't hit her back. And after that day, nobody was scared of Hazel no more. Because I kicked her Acabaca soda cracker. Oh, I was shaking, but I fought her. I was trembling, but I beat her. Do you hear what I'm saying? I was scared, but something came over me and said, you're tired of being scared. Don't you let her beat you. I couldn't go back in the house, because if I went back in the house, my mother was going to send me back out. God says, if you shrink back, I won't be pleased with you. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of being scared. Let's make this the day. Let's make this the moment. That whatever it is that has held you back, you're too afraid. This is the day you cross that line. This is the day you knock the chip off the dummy soldier, off his shoulder. This is the day that the bully stops bullying you. What are you afraid of? For some of us, we just are afraid of people. You can't live in this world without people. You've been hurt. Baby, I've been hurt. You've been abandoned. Man, I can't count the times. You've been lied on. Target right here, constantly. What is it? You can't trust anymore? How are you going to live in this world? You got to trust somebody. And that is the thing for most of us. We hold on to these little places in our heart that nobody knows about, only you and God. That fear, that anxiety, the thing that keeps you up some nights, you think it's gone away and then it comes back. God is going to always challenge you with a thing that you're too afraid to conquer because you think you can't. But you said to yourself, you quoted the word to yourself, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And so I'm praying today that God would bless you with the strength, that you would have the courage to fight back. You cannot quit. You cannot quit, because the word tells us, if you quit, he will not be pleased. Do you understand? Do you think that the enemy is stronger than your God, than great Jehovah? Then what are you afraid of? If God is on your side, the enemy can't come against you. It may fall to your right, but it will not come near you. You either believe that word or you don't, but you cannot quit. And as long as you don't quit, you cannot lose. I'll die believing. If I don't see it, I will die believing. I remember I got to that point when I wanted children so desperately. The Bible says that they hoped against all hope. And so I decided, like my forefather Abraham, I will die in faith. I will not live in disbelief. I was ready to die and go to see the Lord without any children coming from my body, but I was going to believe God anyway. Every single day. It's not a one day thing. It's not a Sunday thing. It's an every single day event in your life. There's no amount of worship that will defeat your giant for you if you do not have belief in your heart. None of it. Because you're singing and you don't believe a word of what you're saying. And so the Lord gave me this message for the people of this house. And if you notice, my messages have the same theme. To conquer fear and believe God. To be a world overcomer. And you raising your voice means nothing to the enemy. The thing that I read about a bully is that he's not interested in really fighting you. He only wants to intimidate you. He don't want no real fight. You want to know something about Hazel? I had never really seen her beat anybody up. I just thought about that. I never really saw her beat anybody up. I only heard about it. I only heard what she could do. I only saw how she raised her voice. I only felt the intimidation. And that's how the enemy is. He just wants you to hear how he inflicted somebody with sickness. He just wants you to hear about him. So he plants something in your heart early in the morning so that all day you're just trembling, you're just trembling. But by faith, get something inside of you that says he will not have you. He may make you afraid, but he will not win because you will not quit. So as long as you keep on moving in the spirit, as long as you do what the word says, if you take the weapons and the tools that God has given you, you see, the enemy is counting on the fact that you're lazy, that you're too tired in the morning. You're too tired at night. You're too tired in the afternoon. You got the word in your pocket and in your purse on your phone 24 hours a day. The apps even read to you. How lazy can we be? Sometimes I wonder why people are not going crazy when the worship is happening. And it dawns on me, maybe they just don't know we're singing the word up in here. But I dare you this week. I dare you this week to decide that if you're not going to read it, you're going to listen to it. I dare you to get a word for your life. If you get a word for your life, watch all hell break loose. Watch it. And then that's how you'll know. That's just a sign, baby, that that's what you're supposed to be doing. Because he doesn't want you any stronger spiritually. Because you're doing fine if you can just sing the songs and not mean them. Watch him attack your finances when you decide, I'm going to give God what belongs to him. Watch it. Watch him. Watch him do it. Watch him have somebody attack your heart with abandonment and lies when you decide, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to give this person a chance. A real chance, and I'm going to trust my heart with you. The problem is you are trusting your heart with yourself. You're doing things in your own strength. I understand what it's like to be afraid to be hurt again. But the funny thing about falling down is that you realize you can actually get back up. And as long as you're still breathing in and out, it's a good day. As long as you get up and you're breathing in and out, sickness did not have you. As long as you get up and you're breathing in and out, fear did not take you. As long as you get up and you are actually have the ability to inhale and exhale, that only means that God has given you another chance. to defeat the fears in your own life so you can get back up. You can try this thing again. So let's try this thing again. Amen? Amen. How am I doing on time, son? I got 5 minutes. So let's go through the armor, because the armor is there to protect everything. The armor of God is there to protect every area of your life. And so let's go through it. The Bible tells us to put the whole armor on. It's not as easy as we want to believe. So let's just go through it real quick. I got 5 minutes, and then we're going to stand and pray. This is how you keep yourself sane. This is how you're going to get the courage every single day, by practicing getting up and putting this armor on. So number one, he tells us to put the belt of truth on. You cannot walk around telling lies, but more than that, you cannot walk around believing them either. People are very afraid of what's really true. We're so politically correct, even in our own lives, that we lower the bar for ourselves because the bar is lowered for just about everybody these days. Lies is one of the main ways that the enemy attacks God's people. The word tells us that he is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses us to one another constantly, which creates division all the time. You don't know who to believe these days. One person says A, the next person says Z, and you're just wondering in between what's really the truth. And so you decide to take a side, and then the enemy wins. Whenever there's division, it is foundation and built upon a lie. I honestly believe that. I know that. Wherever there is division, the foundation of it, it's built upon a lie or lies or gossip or rumors. The people of God are to be above the lies. The problem is we can't tell what's the truth because we have not gotten deep in the deep waters of spirituality yet. That's a whole nother message. God is calling all of us to go out so deep spiritually that you feel like you cannot breathe. Where your spirit is so sensitive to most things, but you're able to hear the voice of God in the midst of chaos. And that's where we are still weak, because we have not waded out into the deep things yet. Listen, I'm still getting out there. But lies. You must be a truth sayer. But mainly, you have to believe the truth. If you don't know what truth is, read your Bible. Just read the Ten Commandments. You want to judge a thing? Read the Ten Commandments. God's word is true. And it will be true if it makes every single one of us a liar. I don't care what people have decided is okay. I don't care what they believe is the truth. I don't care how nice they are. If what they're doing is against the word of God, it is a sin. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. I got to get through these. The breastplate of righteousness protects you from sin and wrongdoing. It protects you from committing sin and wrongdoing, and it protects sin and wrongdoing to come against you. The breastplate of righteousness. Number three, I put the boots fitted with readiness of peace. The boots or your feet fitted with the readiness of peace. This protects you from chaos. And chaos and confusion is where the enemy flourishes in our lives. If he can keep you confused, if he can keep your mind unsteady, if he can keep your heart fluttering, wondering what's going on half the time, you are in chaos. It may be quiet chaos, but it's a storm nonetheless. So you have to get up every morning. You see, we think that putting on peace is something that peace is standing there waiting for you. No, you get up and you put on the readiness. You fit yourself with readiness, and you decide you're walking towards peace, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and you are going to rejoice. You are not going to be in fear. You're going towards peace, and no storm, any kind of hell that comes against you, you are still determined that today will be a day where peace reigns in my life. Tonight will be the night that peace reigns, and God says, be still, and you sleep through the whole night. Amen. And then number four, the shield of faith. And that protects what you believe. It protects your beliefs. And he's always attacking what we truly are supposed to believe. Here's the question. What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that you serve a God that is more than able? Do you believe that there's still good in people? Do you believe that God will protect you? Do you believe you can be healed? Do you believe that God is still doing miracles? For the past 3 weeks, I've been on this prayer group for the woman that got me saved. She's been in the hospital. She was in a coma. She had brain surgery, and then she was in a coma. And we have been, a group of us have been praying for her every day. And we have watched her improve. I said something about it on about a few Wednesdays ago. I can't remember. And the funny thing is that when you are convinced of a thing spiritually, and then you tell somebody about it, what you believe, that God, what he's done, and you know what he's going to do, believe me, when you wake up the next day, he's going to come stronger. I wish I could tell you something happy. That's why you got to get yourself together spiritually. Time is out for play, people. Time is out for us just being happy, just going on Sundays. You got to make this a Monday through Sunday thing. I got off this stage on Wednesday. And the next day, the doctors were saying, she has some kind of an infection in her blood. We don't know what it is. That was the text message I got. But you know what I said? It's like my heart sank. Because I don't want her to die. I want her to live. But we just all got on that chat. And we were just all declaring the goodness of the Lord in Susan's life. We were declaring that sickness will not take her. We spoke to her blood and we told it to be clean. We told infection to go. We did not quit. So we did not lose. By that night, the doctors came with the report and said, her blood looks fine to us. Fever's gone down in the name of Jesus. I will have what I say. You got to be like, devil, try me. He will not take my faith. Number five, the sword of the Spirit. It's the word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You see, the word is the light. It is your roadmap for this life. And the enemy tries to tell you you're too busy to just even listen to it in your car. I'm not exempt. I have to make myself get in that word. I'm so glad for technology, y'all, because I can listen to it all day if I want. I get into these habits where I start listening to people preach the word, and that's good, but I want to listen to the word, because even the word being preached through a vessel can be tainted by the vessel. It can be, not in a bad way, but it can be kind of clouded, because I see through a glass darkly. It's only then will I see clearly. So the best thing you can do is just read your word. Just listen to your word. Decide right now that every single day for the next week, you're going to listen to the word. Ask God to open it up to you and watch him speak to your heart. You got to get your sword every single day. And then the helmet of salvation. I love the fact that salvation is something you put on your head, especially today, because this is where the enemy comes in. Even right now, there are some of you sitting here, and you're just wondering, Even though you're reading scripture, you're wondering how true this is for your life. God has created salvation as a covering, not just against death physically, but against death spiritually. The enemy comes in every day, and he wants to kill you just a little bit every day. If you find yourself sadder and more depressed, in more lack, needing, then you know that his assault against you, his bullying of you, is being a little too effective. What you need to do is decide to up and put on that helmet every day. We confess salvation, and that is great, but sometimes you got to let the enemy know how saved you really are. You're not going to be a part of something that's wrong. You're not going to tell lies. You're going to live in the truth. You're going to decide to declare that you're blessed and you're healed. That is the truth of the word. And here's the thing. Having done all to stand, and this is where I close, you got to stand firm. Stand to your feet. I'm going to tell you one more thing, and I'm going to pray for you. When it comes to this armor, y'all, you cannot have one piece of it at a time. I discovered a while ago that I got to have it all on. And the funny thing is, when you think about the level of fear and anxiety is not anything new. There's nothing new under the sun. When you think about the level of and the number of psychotropics that are being shoveled out to all of us, prescriptions being not just filled but refilled just to keep us calm, just to keep our hearts from worrying, just to keep us in a place where we can function one day to the next. We gotta stop letting the enemy win. When you think about all of that, think about this armor. Here's something, because the Bible says that there are parts of it that protects the other parts. And let me show you how. You got the belt on, you got the breastplate on, your feet are good, you got your helmet on, and you got your shield of faith. Isn't it something that righteousness protects everything vital? It is a breastplate. Isn't it something awesome that salvation protects your mind? It's on your head. Are you saved? Isn't it something that where you go, peace is supposed to be there waiting for you? Here's where the enemy attacks. He attacks your faith. He attacks your shield. The shield is something when a knight puts on his armor or she puts on her armor. When you throw it up, faith protects your righteousness and your truth. And you can move it anywhere you want. You can move it anywhere you want. Faith will protect your salvation. What you believe, because it's with your mouth that you confess, but you must believe it in your heart. Peace is yours if you get up and decide it's yours. But you must have faith to believe that peace is waiting for you as you move forward. And you must be ready for peace. Some of us can't even see that peace is in our life. You can't even see that you have control over all of this chaos. And God wants to make you strong in Him. Yes, to better your life, but for somebody else. You must take this good news to someone else. But believe me, you know the Spirit by the Spirit. If you don't believe it, you can tell me anything you want. The proof is in the pudding, baby. You got to believe this thing. Your faith, it must be intact. Now let's be present. I want you to get in your mind, not the thing you're believing God for, because God can give you things, not your money, but where your heart is. What do you believe? Where's your soul? Because the enemy is arrayed against our souls. If he can take what you believe and twist it around, and here's the truth of the matter. He says, if you don't have faith, if you don't have faith, you can't please him. Hebrews chapter 11. And then he also tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, and it's one of my favorite scriptures in the NIV, it says, if you shrink back, I won't be pleased with you. But I love this part where the writer says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are of those who believe and we are saved. So you know what that means? That means that when you leave those doors, that you're going to start walking in belief, because you have an enemy that's waiting to take it from you. And you have to decide right now you're going to keep it. So get in your mind where your heart is. Get in your mind where your heart is. Close your eyes and lay your hands on yourself. Hallelujah. Father, we come before your throne asking, Lord God, for the boldness to not be afraid of moving forward. We ask you, Lord God, to heal us, those of us that have been abused, those of us that have been abandoned. We realize, Lord, that the enemy has fear riding on those things. When we were abused, fear came in. When we were abandoned, fear came in. When we were lied on, we became afraid of people, of telling them our heart's desires. God, I'm asking you to protect us. Protect us from the lies of the enemy. Protect us from division. Protect us, Lord God, from fear, from unforgiveness. God, protect us. As we leave this place, we ask you to give us courage, boldness, to walk uprightly before you, to take up our shield of faith, to protect our righteousness and our truth, and our peace, and our salvation. We ask for new eyes to see what you see, Lord. Because in the midst of evil, you see an opportunity for good. In the midst of sickness, you see an opportunity for miracles and healing and signs and wonders. Thank you for the miracles and the signs and the wonders. But God, we want our belief to be intact, because that's going to move mountains. And that is what is going to tear down the whispers and quiet the enemy in our own heads. Father, protect your people this week. Encamp an angel around them, each and every one of them, those that have been under the sound of this message, those that are watching online. Protect us, Lord. Build us up in our faith. Give us the strength to get up and seek you inside of your word. We need some truth, Lord. May we believe what your word says about us and about your kingdom. May we go out there this week and do things we never thought we'd be able to do. May we take a ride on a plane this week in the name of Jesus. I speak courage. I speak faith. Oh God, in this sobering moment, we ask for wisdom to know the difference between the truth and a lie. Spiritual wisdom. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. You are blessed, and God is more than able. Amen. You are blessed, and God is more than able. So go out this week and do something that's a little bit strange. Say something that's a little bit strange. Be blessed. God bless you all. Amen.